all kinds of excitement going on there.
Scores! Roll the highlight reel. 6-0 Flames.
Yeah, guys, put it in the wind tunnel.
Yeah, baby, yeah, baby, yeah, baby.
This is Flames Talk with Pat Steinberg and Aaron Vickers on Sportsnet 960 The Fan.
Happy Thursday. Let's get things going this hour on Flames Talk. Steinberg and Vickers on Apple, Spotify, Amazon, or wherever you get your podcasts. It's Thursday, September 19th, and we are now one day in to training camp 2024. Training camp all wrapped up from Winsport on Thursday. 3 days of practice, morning skate on Sunday, and a road game in Seattle to open up the 2024 preseason against the Seattle Kraken. Welcome to the Sports Drive, brought to you by Calgary Lock and Safe. Treat yourself with up to $500 in savings of fire-resistant gun safes. Explore the full line of safes at CalgaryLockAndSafe.com. Hello, Mr. Vickers.
Hello, Steiny. How are we doing, buddy?
Good, man. Day one of camp is in the books, and hey, there was a lot to sink your teeth into on day one. Why don't we just continue to do that? What were the biggest takeaways from day one of training camp? We're going to kind of go rapid fire through some of the big takeaways, some of the most notable comments, some of the, you know, observations that you and I had from the first day of camp. And again, it's day one, so disclaimer, we're probably going to overreact for the next 22 minutes or so. And then things might be different in 2 days' time. Who knows? But what were the biggest observations? What were the most notable comments? Let's dive in right now. Text line's open if you're listening live, 960-960. Would love to hear from you and react to us reacting as well. And I think Nazem Kadri had the best quote of the day, because one of the big questions today was essentially, why do you want to be here? And a lot of different people kind of phrased that theme different ways to the veteran players we spoke to. We spoke to pretty much all of the vets, those six guys. It's Jonathan Huberdeau, Michael Backlund, Blake Coleman, Rasmus Anderson, Nazem Kadri, and I'm missing one again.
Never fails.
Yeah, because six is too much to remember for a small brain. But there are the six veterans that are holdovers and kind of remain on this team. Let's see if we can do it again. Backlund, Coleman,
yeah.
Huberdeau, Weegar.
Ah,
Mackenzie Weegar and Rasmus Anderson. 2D, four forwards. There we go. Thank you, small brain, for coming through way too late. But we talked to five of those six veterans. Weegar did not come out and speak to us. We'll probably speak with him on Friday. But one of the big themes was, why do you want to be a part of the solution? Or what about this team makes you want to stay? Those are kind of different ways of phrasing the same question. And that question was asked a couple of different ways to Nazem Kadri on Thursday morning. And I loved this answer from number 91.
I love the city. Love the city. Love the organization. I mean, I feel like it's super early to be asking these kind of questions. So I'm going to ask you guys to just pump the brakes a little bit. You know, let us go play. And, we're going to try to rally around each other and surprise some people.
Like, I love it. Pump the brakes. Like, hey, why are we asking? This is day one of training camp.
Let us go play.
Maybe give us a chance here. I like that coming from one of the most polished media guys on the team, one of the most important players in the locker room, one of the most important players on the ice, one of the bona fide leaders inside that room. I love hearing that from Kadri. And, you know, when that's one of the themes, you knew for sure that Kadri knew questions were coming, and he did his best to try to shut that down for the rest of the camp. We'll see if it ends up being successful, but I like it because guys in the room know what's being said. They know what the outside expectations are, and they know that they're being counted out in many circles. And so using that as some motivation, trying to quell the outside noise. I thought it was a really good tone setter from Nazem, who just happened to be the first guy to come speak with us on Thursday morning as well.
Yeah, definitely sort of threw cold water on that narrative immediately, at least for his avail. We're like, hey, let us go play. Let's play a game before we talk about trading me away to another team here, which I am very clearly not exploring at this moment. Let's just see where this season takes us. Let's see what the start is like. Let's see what the atmosphere and the mood is like, because we know how difficult it was last season. And if Nazem Kadri wasn't answering questions about his future last year, he was answering questions about the future of Jacob Markstrom or Elias Lindholm or Chris Tanev or Noah Hanifin or Nikita Zadorov or whoever I happen to be missing from that sequence of trades that happened with so many pending unrestricted free agents a year ago. It's finally quiet around the Calgary Flames. Let's keep it that way, I feel like Nazem Kadri is trying to say there. We don't need to stir anything up. Let's just enjoy the lack of noise that's going on here and let us play hockey and see where the hockey can take us without all these other distractions happening.
That was a great quote. And I think one of the other themes, kind of an offshoot of that, is how much this group wants to maybe prove some people wrong and how much they believe that what they have inside the locker room is better than what's perceived on the outside. And here's Jonathan Huberdeau, who talked a little bit about that. You know, this is a group that doesn't have the same type of uncertainty in terms of the roster. You know, there's no big name expiring contracts. There's no, where is this player going to be or is this player going to stay? Like, those things don't exist the same way they did 1 year ago. And Huberdeau likes that buzz and likes kind of the opening vibes of training camp.
I think we know what our groove's going to look like, you know, from day one. And we like it. I think it's a challenge for us. It's, you know, we've got a lot of young guys, a lot of great leaders. And I think, you know, we're looking forward to that. I think, you know, like I said, I think around the league or around the media people, they have us, you know, low expectation. But I think for us, we want to make the playoffs, and that's going to be our main goal this year. And I think, you know, we're going to do it as a team all together. And I think if everybody chips in, we're going to be a good team.
And I know that there are some who roll their eyes when they hear those things. Okay, you're not going to be a good team. There's lots of people. I see it on the text line anytime we talk about it, or anytime, even as we've been playing clips. You know, the first hour today, we played a lot of different players and heard from a lot of different players, and plenty of like, okay, these guys are delusional, or what are these guys thinking, or it's hilarious that they think they can make the playoffs. I've seen it all on the text line, and fair enough, but inside that locker room, like, what are you expecting them to say? Of course, like, you think that which training camp around the NHL, there's 31 other training camps going on right now, which veteran player on that team is coming out and saying, yeah, you know what? Like, these 82 games are pretty much a waste of time. Like, I don't know. I'm just here to collect my paycheck because we're obviously going to miss the playoffs. So, like, we're going to, like, try to, like, let the young players get better. I'll help in that regard. But honestly, I don't want to make the playoffs. I don't think we're going to make the playoffs. And so I'm just here to kind of go through the motions. Like, every other camp in the league is saying the same thing. Chicago, San Jose, Pittsburgh, Buffalo, it doesn't matter. Everybody believes inside their room that they can be competitive, they can be a playoff team. Whether you agree on the outside or not is immaterial, but, you know, to be critical of guys because they're talking about this, Jonathan Huberdeau is a high-level athlete. There are, to me, like two non-negotiables to becoming a high-level athlete. Obviously, the skill and the actual ability to be able to play.
That'd be key, yeah.
That's important. But also, like, you have got to have that competitive drive. And you don't have a lot of guys who really do go through the motions who make it to the highest level. No guy inside that locker room is cool with losing. Whether you think they're going to lose a lot or not, they're not going to come out and say that, you know what, our expectations inside the locker room, they're pretty low. They're probably as low as yours. Of course they're not going to say those things.
You're suggesting to me that they're not going to come to the first media avail and talk about this really kick-ass golf trip they've got planned for Hawaii,
yeah,
on April 25th?
Yeah.
Weird. Of course they
especially
believe it. They're
not
wired
in September.
They're wired to win. That's why they're here, to your point. You can basically go through any draft and look at the top five, top 10 picks of any draft class, and outside of injury, the guys that typically don't make it are the guys that aren't driven enough to make it. You don't get to this level and stay at this level without having that drive of wanting to win night in, night out. And if this Calgary Flames group believes they have a shot at the playoffs, regardless of what that percentage might be, they're going to work towards it until it's mathematically not a possibility.
Yeah, I'm never going to criticize guys talking like that when they're starting the season. This is Michael Backlund. Here's the captain. As we know, longest tenured member on the team, also the second longest tenured member in the history of the organization, or third right now, will be second very shortly. This year he'll be second, and he's already he's second now.
He's already second.
Yeah, he's already second. Right? Sorry, yeah. What we're waiting for is 1,000 games. That's the milestone. He's the second longest tenured player in franchise history, and he will hit 1,000 games in a Flames uniform this year. And, you know, he talked about being on teams before that have defied expectations and teams that have maybe proved some doubters wrong. He spoke a little bit about that on Thursday morning.
Especially that 14-15 year. We get off to a great start, but a really tough road trip. But, you know, we went in head first, and we're like, we're going to play some really good hockey, make it really hard on teams. And that's our mindset this year again. That year we, you know, just had that good start, and then it just kind of kept rolling, and we just kept pushing each other and on practice and games, and we never gave up. And that's the mentality we're going to have this year again. It was a fun year. One of the years that sticks out for sure during my time here. And it's always fun to prove people wrong and to be the underdog a little bit. And it's nice, you know, last couple of years we come in some high expectation of this group especially, you know, 2 years ago, and a lot of big changes, but still high expectations, and things didn't go the way we wanted. So last year was a lot of question marks on the team, but still high expectations. So it's just nice this year, a little change. Come in here, no one really expect much, and go out and just enjoy playing in the NHL.
That is Captain Michael Backlund as he and the team try to defy some outside expectations. Whether that in and of itself is a big motivating factor or not, that's one of the things that a lot of people will be watching for this year is whether or not they can be a more competitive team than perhaps some on the outside believe.
And I'm not going to point and say that every season the Calgary Flames are expected to be near the bottom of the standings. You can just point to 2014-15 and say, hey, that happened then. This is going to happen now. That's not what I'm saying. But a lot of the expectations for that group were bottom five in the league, bottom three in the league. On the Sportsnet.ca staff poll for the 14-15 season, the Flames were ranked 29th out of 30 teams. Only the Buffalo Sabres were lower that year. The Calgary Flames are 31st out of 32 teams in 2024-25 Sportsnet staff polling. It's not always going to be the Cinderella season, but a lot of even to go back to the text line and going, oh, these guys are delusional and whatnot. They're saying the same things we heard a decade ago when training camp broke in September 2014 that we are in September 2024. You still got to go out and do it. But you have to have the mentality of this isn't an insurmountable hill to climb to put ourselves into contention. I mean, if you're a Flames fan, would you want them to say, it's a write-off. We're done. Come check in on us in April, maybe go to the draft in June and we'll catch up then. Like, that's not an acceptable mentality.
Few texts at 960-960 before we hit a couple more takeaways from day one. This is agreed, Pat. Creating the culture of winning starts now. And I think that's important. There can't be a acceptance or nonchalance when it comes to results. That has to be something that is built now, whether the team is ready to compete at a high level or not. Perry from Airdrie says, I would hope everyone in the locker room is starting the year with confidence, especially the vets. I'd be skeptical as to whether I want them on my team if they were any other way. They're tied for first place starting the year. This says the 32nd place team in the NHL still only has 31 hockey teams in the whole world better than them in the larger picture. That's still a good hockey team. And finally, what do we got here? Those are the texts I wanted to read, rather, at 960-960. So, let's shift it to some of the interesting things we saw on the ice. And to me, not like this is a surprise. We were 99% sure we were going to see Martin Pospisil between Anthony Mantha and Jonathan Huberdeau to start training camp. We did see that. They were part of the second group on the ice on Thursday. That line is going to be one that is together at least for a little bit, couple of days, 2 or 3 days at training camp. Will it be a line that starts together to start the regular season? That remains to be seen. But Jonathan Huberdeau was asked about playing with a couple new line mates on Thursday.
I mean, Pospy is, you know, is a guy that can drive the middle, and, you know, he's the guy that goes into the battle really hard. I think, you know, last year he was playing really well, plays hard, and so I like that. And Manta, I mean, first of all, he's French, you know, it's good news. But no, he's a guy that shoots the puck, you know, he has a tremendous shot, you know, good, great IQ. So I think we can get, you know, it could be a really good line. I think we can start building some chemistry right away.
I'm really interested to see what Huberdeau and Mantha look like. Are they a duo that can play well off of one another? So that's interesting to keep an eye on. And is Marty Pospisil the guy or a guy who can help unlock a little bit more of Jonathan Huberdeau? I'm really interested to see that. I mean, I love the theory. I love the idea of, hey, he plays with speed. He drives the middle. He's a guy who can open up space because of the way he plays. And that's the type of thing that meshes well with Jonathan's game. And obviously, Anthony Mantha is a pure shooter and has got a really good shot. That thing explodes off his stick. Are those two guys that can help unlock Jonathan Huberdeau? I don't know, but we'll see, and I'm very intrigued by the idea.
Whenever trying to line up a player to play with Jonathan Huberdeau, and I referenced it earlier in the week, but I always go back to that Sportsnet.ca piece from last November from Vanessa Keswer highlighting and identifying what was working for Jonathan Huberdeau as a member of the Florida Panthers versus what wasn't working for him as a member of the Calgary Flames. And one of the big conclusions was, Huberdeau is most effective, most efficient when he's got a center that can drive that middle lane, push the defense back, and start creating seams for Jonathan Huberdeau to find teammates, whether it's going to be the right winger, whether it's going to be a trailing defenseman. And to me, there's no better candidate on the team to play the role of driving that middle than Martin Pospisil. So that's why I'm curious. That's why I'm optimistic that something might work there. Finding a Sam Bennett-esque type center for Jonathan Huberdeau to be able to create that space, manufacture that space for him, be really interesting to see how it actually looks in game form.
No, I have no idea how much we'll see it in game form. Like, will we see it 2 preseason games, 1 preseason game?
A period.
Game, 4, I don't know. Will it be there? I still go back to, Jesus, would have been 3 seasons ago now, the 21-22 season. I still go back to the fall of 2021, and we thought the Flames were going to start one way, and then Blake Coleman got himself suspended in the final preseason game, missed the regular season opener, and that threw everything out of whack. And that's how Johnny, Matthew, and Lindholm got put together as a line. I remember that morning skate that day, and you're like, oh, that's the line they're going to go with. Okay, because I wasn't expecting that. They hadn't rolled that line at all through training camp. They had used it the prior season down the stretch, but they hadn't used that line at all in training camp. And all of a sudden, day one, there they are, Gaudreau, Lindholm, and Tkachuk. And we all know how that line turned out and how wildly successful they were. So I have no idea what it's going to look like on night one, but I do know I've covered enough training camps. I've talked to enough coaches. When you start training camp, these things are put together with the idea that it's something we'd really like to see come the start of the regular season. Whether or not it works, that's why they're put together. But you put them together on day one because it gives you the most runway to see how it plays itself out. And so I do think if the Flames had it their way, then Pospisil, Huberdeau, and Mantha would be a trio to start the regular season. However, you need to see if it works. That's what training camp and the preseason's all about.
I mean, the lines are done on a dry erase board for a reason.
Mm-hmm.
You look at it, you get a glimpse at it. Okay, it works. You can leave it up and you can fiddle with the other lines. If it doesn't work, you just take the eraser and start from scratch again. And I guarantee you there is probably 6 or 7 iterations of line combinations that have been on Ryan Huska's board over the course of the summer of players, of trios that he's wanted to get a look at, or duos he's wanted to keep together to see if there's any spark there. So yeah, this audition could be one period, it could be one game, it could be 5 games, it could be something we see at the beginning of camp, but until we get into exhibition games and see whether or not it's actually truly effective, you just don't know. But that's why I appreciate starting it right from scratch, right from day one, to give yourself that runway, as you called it.
And then there's the goaltending situation. We will end there, and it's a good, it'll lead us nicely into our chat with Kevin Woodley, but we heard from Dustin Wolf. We heard from Devin Cooley a little bit. I like Dustin Wolf's mindset. He was asked about, hey, is the mindset that you're coming here and you're starting in the NHL, that's what you're here to grab? I like the way Dustin Wolf, who's one of the 3 goaltenders fighting for NHL time in this camp, here's how Dustin Wolf's looking at things.
You got to come in very confident. You got to mentally believe that you're going to go in there, take a job, and you'll play well and help your team win games. And that's the mindset I'm coming into camp with is I'm here to play games, here to play as many games as I can, and ultimately help the team win as many of those as we can.
So Dustin Wolf's mindset is, I'm winning a job. We know where Dan Vladar is. He joined us last week after the golf tournament. What about Devin Cooley? He knows there's opportunity here, and he is at camp trying to prove something.
I mean, it's just an open competition. You know, that's part of the reasons that I wanted to sign here, is that it just seems like the jobs are open, and whoever competes the best is going to get it. And that's what hoping what I can do.
And so the competition is very wide open if you're this Flames coaching staff. And if you're one of those 3 guys, Vladar or the 2 we just heard from, Wolf and Cooley, there's a wide open competition. And I like that answer that Devin Cooley gave you. He said, hey, I came here because I see opportunity to play in the NHL. And that opportunity, I fully believe, begins here in late September with the start of training camp.
Well, and just to complete the trifecta, I had the opportunity to talk to Dan Vladar as well. And he said, if I didn't think I was ready, I wouldn't come here. So you've got 3 goalies who very clearly see a path to not only just an NHL job, but a starting NHL job, which none of them have had before.
Yeah, Dustin Wolf, when he was, like, yeah, I'm as ready as I'm ever going to be a full-time NHLer.
So here you go. That's, to me, why the goaltending situation is sort of both the biggest question mark, but the biggest source of intrigue for me throughout this camp.
A few more texts before we get to Kevin Woodley at 960-960. If Pospisil doesn't work as center between Huberdeau and Mantha, do you think they'll try Zeri? I think, yes, whether it doesn't work or does work, I still think they'll try Zeri, regardless. This says, as a fan, I can cheer for a high pick, but any player or coach who starts to accept losing, there's the door. You're not part of the situation. That's from Dan in Cochrane. Matt in Cochrane says, the find-a-way Flame season created the false belief the team was ready to contend and have them up and down and in and out with near zero playoff success. I agree. That year derailed a direction. However, based on what I know about Craig Conroy, based on conversations I've had with Craig Conroy, all those types of things, I think, yeah, results are great, but I don't think that's going to, if they end up surprising people this year, I don't think that that's going to deviate him from where his plan's going. How's that?
No, I agree wholeheartedly. And I think that having Craig Conroy in an executive position during that 14-15 season and seeing Brad Treliving go out and make trades and acquire Hamonic, Hamilton, make free agent signings, Brower, Neal, so on and so forth, I think that's good for Craig Conroy now to see that 1 year of success doesn't automatically mean the long-term plan is done and helps you actually stick to that plan as opposed to deviate from it.
So those are kind of the takeaways from day one of training camp. Little rapid fire on some of the more notable comments and things we heard and saw. See if there's more to bring you on Friday for day two of training camp at WinSport. It's Steinberg and Vickers along with you this hour on Flames Talk. We're coming at you from our Groundworks downtown studio, your local experts for foundation and crawl space repair.
Talking your team right now. Flames Talk is on Sportsnet 960 The Fan.
Steinberg and Vickers along with you as we continue this hour on Flames Talk, Apple, Spotify, Amazon, or wherever you get your podcasts. Lots to dive into. It's Thursday. It's time to say hello to our goalie guru. It's time to say hello to Kevin Woodley, who joins us from In Goal Magazine and NHL.com in Vancouver. He joins us on the Atlas Pizza and Sports Bar guest hotline. Mr. Woodley, happy training camp. Day one underway around the league. The season is back underway, my friend.
It is. It is. I'm a little sad that I'm coming to you from Vancouver and not Penticton, but the nature of budgets these days, I'm not at the start of Canucks Camp Live, but charged with keeping in touch on all things Thatcher Demko nonetheless.
That's right. I forgot that they're doing it in Penticton. They're just staying out there. I forgot about that.
Guys had probably saw how nice it was, and who would want to come home? You just stay up there the whole 10 days.
Exactly. Very, very true. And they're doing that. They don't come back until Sunday now. So first few days of training camp for the Canucks in Penticton. After all, Kev, they are BC's team. Just ask them.
Yes. I've detected a little bit of that for sure.
Before we get to Thatcher Demko, I did want to ask you a little bit about one of the things that we've talked about over the last few days. So the Flames have three goaltenders that they believe are capable of playing NHL minutes: Dan Vladar, Dustin Wolf, and newcomer Devin Cooley. They signed him in free agency, and you know, you and I had been talking about Devin leading up to free agency. You were a big fan of the signing, a two-year deal. He is waiver eligible. And I do think there's some concern about potentially losing him on waivers if the Flames do end up deciding he's number three on their depth chart through training camp. Just knowing what you know about the goalie fraternity, knowing what you know about how other people view Devin, like how much of a worry would it be that the Flames would lose a guy like Devin on waivers if that's what they decided to do?
So I know there's a lot of there are a handful of goalie coaches. I don't want to say a lot because I don't talk to everyone specifically about Devin, but I have talked to a handful of goalie coaches that see the same thing that I saw, right? Like, and see the same thing that the Sharks saw, and yet the Sharks still passed on re-signing, right? Like, I know they really like the upside. And so are there teams that see that? Absolutely. Did any of them offer him a one-way contract with an NHL spot this year? Not that I'm aware of. And so if you're claiming him, you need to keep him, right? Like you can't claim a guy just to then deposit him in on your farm team. You got to keep him in the NHL.
Yeah.
Otherwise you just lose him right back. So I do think the risk is a little lower given that. I think it's a little lower given that, like, for example, here in Vancouver with the Demko stuff, like, is there a chance the Canucks claim a guy to get for the start of the season off waivers, depending on how the next few weeks go for Thatcher? Absolutely. You'd be naive to think they haven't built a list. But I think Cooley is a guy they would see as more of a project, too. Like, hey, like, this guy still has upside, but we'd like to get him in the A and maybe work on some things. And that's not what they're looking for. And that's also not what you get when you claim a guy off waivers. That's for, you know, those are typically for we need somebody right now. And when you look at the list of names that are going to go through the waiver wire likely at the start of this season. Now, not there are some teams that'll keep three, but you know, you think of Buffalo. Like, I think Devin Levi's their backup to Ukko Pekka-Luukkonen. So that means James Reimer's probably on waivers unless they decide to keep three, and they didn't like having three last year, even though they did it. Detroit's got four. Right? Including Jack Campbell, including potentially either Alex Lyon or Ville Husso. You know, there are other teams that have guys with NHL pedigree. You know, I think of Hoberg, some other names like that. Chris Driedger, with Florida, assuming Spencer Knight stays in the backup with Florida. I know Chris, because of the injury, didn't get a lot of opportunities in Seattle, but you guys saw one of the games he did. He was exceptional against Calgary. Like, I think he's still an NHL goalie. So I think there are other names on the list that would lead me to believe, as much as some people still really like Cooley and see him in the same eyes as the Flames, I don't know that he's a guy you would lose necessarily on waivers. And if you're really worried about it, as much as I hate to say this, because you want to see him get preseason games and watch him in that right. action, do it early. That's the reality. I mean, the year that everybody complained or Toronto whined about losing two guys in the same year, and I heard all the moaning out of Toronto, including from media people about it, like people were just picking on the Leafs because they'd used their money to buy this depth, and now all of a sudden the depth was gone because they lost two guys, I think, on the same day that year. What were you doing waiting till the end? If you wait till the end of preseason, you create an opportunity for more teams to have injury concerns and have a need. So if you really are worried about it, the answer is do it early and get them down early. The crappy part for a guy like Devin Cooley is it means it limits his opportunities in the NHL preseason. But I think the risk, and this is not a shot in any way, shape, or form, you know how highly I think of him, but I think the risk is a little less there.
Kev, you mentioned teams keeping three goalies. Is there anyone who enjoys that scenario?
Well, if you listen to him, Caden Primo didn't mind it last year. It was an opportunity to get some very position-specific work in, and they made it work. Even though it was a real focal point, I had a conversation with him where like he saw some benefits to it, and he thought it worked for him. Generally speaking, though, like the math is simple. Three doesn't go into two evenly, and there are only two nets, and so your reps are down, whether we're talking about practice or whether we're talking about even the goalie skates or game situations, right? There's just not the opportunity that everyone wants. So, no, three is not ideal for a lot of reasons, and I say that as a guy who has advocated for a practice goalie and essentially a third goalie for the practice roster for a long time, because so many of the drills during the games or during the regular season are kind of a waste of your goalie's time and, frankly, a waste of valuable reps and wear and tear on your starting goalie, especially if you have a workhorse. So I think there can be benefits to a third goalie in a practice mold, but it's certainly less so when it's a goalie who, you know, feels they're NHL ready and should be getting NHL minutes. You know, Buffalo with three last year, Detroit carried three for a large portion of last year, and I don't think anybody was super happy amongst those three that they kept. So, you know, and there's a proposal. I know there was a proposal this summer about having that third practice goalie, because there are teams, the Pittsburgh Penguins travel a practice goalie. I think the Toronto Maple Leafs quietly did too last year, where they have somebody who's not on the roster, who's not a pro, but just travels to be a practice goalie so that they can give the starter reps off. And there's a proposal to make that a ECHL position, and you swap them back and forth so that one of your ECHL prospect goalies gets to spend time with the big club, gets to serve that role as a practice goalie, gets to get reps against NHL shooters and with an NHL goalie coach, and you swap back and forth a month at a time, make it a development position. But as far as it being a spot for a regular NHLer, pretty much everybody in that boat tells you they don't like it.
Kevin Woodley's with us. He is our goaltending expert from In Goal Magazine and NHL.com. Let's jump to your neck of the woods and let's talk about BC's team. What is the latest on Thatcher Demko? Where do things stand on the number one goalie for the Vancouver Canucks? What do we know here on day one of training camp, Kev?
Well, he addressed his situation today, and quite openly and honestly and candidly, and with just with a sort of lightness and candidness that we actually haven't seen from him a lot in the last couple of years, or less of. And so I think it's probably a sign, as odd as that sounds, that things are trending in the right direction. And I say that because what he actually said was just riddled with uncertainty, including about the very nature of the injury itself. He did confirm, as I had reported before, that there was a surgery, an operation that he had this summer, but it wasn't related to what's keeping him out. It was more when they were in there examining the current injury, they spotted something that they felt, let's address it now so it doesn't bug you later. That could be, who knows, a meniscus tear, something that just needs clipped and cleaned in an arthroscopic danger, super easy and quick. But the actual injury that's keeping him from the ice right now, the one that he sustained in the dying stages of game one of the Stanley Cup playoffs opener against Nashville, he called it a muscle injury. I think we know it's around the knee. And he said it's never been sustained that they can find any knowledge of or record of or help with by a hockey player, goalie or otherwise. They found a few examples of soccer players, and even at that, just a handful. And so with it comes a degree of uncertainty that, you know, if you're a fan of this franchise and all the years, you know, no cups, and it feels, you know, right back to the first draft and the way things went with sort of the confusion over getting the number one pick and then not getting the number one pick. And like, there's this sort of like waiting for the other shoe to drop portion of Canucks fandom that becomes quite hilarious on the radio airwaves and things like that. And if you're one of those members, like the sky is always falling, there is a curse upon this franchise.
Yeah.
You hear that and you're like, oh my God, our number one goaltender has no idea what's wrong with him, and there is no timeline for his return. And so there is a degree of pessimism that could come with the news today. And yet from the video I saw of him skating, it feels like there's only one thing missing that he can't do, and that's the reverse VH and the post work. And that's usually the last step of the progression anyways. He's moving from his knees and quite explosively and powerfully. He's taking shots, dropping into the butterfly. He said that after having, you know, months this summer of being stalled and no progression, in the last two or three weeks, he's really taken some big strides. So does that mean the start of the season, or does that mean a couple weeks into the season? I think they may be leaning towards the start of the season more so than they were even 4 weeks ago as a possibility. But as Thatcher said today, even he's not sure of that timeline. So, it's weird, guys, because in a way I feel like I sort of feel good about it in terms of what I heard today, in terms of his health and him being ready, if not for the start of, then early in the season. And maybe this being something that, you know, for all the consternation, and there will be questions about his health forever because he's never made it through a full season healthy. And he's not going to start this one healthy. But I sort of feel a little better about it today, despite all the, you know, uncertainty that I just delivered to you. So we'll just have to wait and see. And that question is going to linger. And with it comes the question, do they stand pat behind him? Because whether it's now or later with that uncertainty, there is not a lot of NHL experience in goal beyond Thatcher Demko on this roster.
Well, let me ask you, moving from Vancouver to Boston, let me ask you about the Bruins situation. Now, we don't know. Jeremy Swayman could very well be signed Friday or Saturday and have most of camp with Boston. But let's just for a second assume that maybe the Bruins don't start the season with Jeremy Swayman on the roster. How concerned should Bruins fans be knowing Jonas Korpisalo would end up being their number one? Brandon Boosie would kind of be their number two guy. Like, how should Bruins fans be feeling about that tandem if Jeremy Swayman doesn't start the season with them?
This is a tough one because Swayman's a guy that's right there ready to jump into that elite category, right? Like, the only thing keeping him out of it in my mind, because he has all the talent, is the opportunity to play more games and be a number one and show he can do that. And that's a step. And not every goalie takes it seamlessly and clean. And I would suggest missing all of training camp in the preseason probably isn't the way you want to go into your first opportunity to do so. But like, he's such a talent that clearly there's going to be a drop off. And yet Korpisalo will be a guy that I picked to have a major bounce back in Boston. He is better than he showed in Ottawa last year. I believe that. And I think we saw signs of that 2 years ago. And I just think that situation in Ottawa just wasn't a good one for the goaltenders last year. The goaltenders deserve their share of blame for it. They weren't the worst team in the NHL defensively, but they were a lot worse than a lot of the public metrics I've seen pointed to suggest, especially when it came up to giving high danger stuff off the rush, which is typically where you give away the tap-ins and the easy ones. So I think he is fully capable as he was in Los Angeles after getting traded, in a good structured system of being a number one goalie. And yet there are certainly a lot more question marks going into the season with him as your number one versus him as your 1B behind, you know, a proven, more proven, especially in recent years, Jeremy Swayman. Brandon Boosie, like, all the Bruins do is build goaltenders, right? Like don't forget, Swayman sort of was, not came out of nowhere, but, you know, this was not a guy who was projected his entire life to be, you know, where he is this early in his career in Boston. Bob Esenza does a remarkable job as a goaltending coach there, and I've heard nothing but good things about Brandon Boosie. We've had him on the In Goal Radio podcast last year, was super impressed with the mindset and approach he brought to the position. He's developed, much like Swayman, really quickly as a pro. And so, again, lack of experience. There's going to be ups and downs and growing pains starting in the NHL, but there's a not a pedigree, but there is certainly in recent years a path, a direction that looks like he's going to be an NHL guy. And if that starts sooner because of Swayman holding out, you know, there's risk, but I don't know that it's all downside because I've heard a lot of great things about his upside. So you're never better without a Jeremy Swayman. That's just not going to be possible. But I'm not sure it's quite as grave given what they have behind him. If they can, you know, if the rest of the team can play well, you're not going to, those guys aren't going to carry you, but I'm not sure they've ever needed the goaltenders to do that to even more so last year than the year before, for sure, without Bergeron, but they're a team that sort of, they put their goaltenders in a position to succeed and they build goaltenders that are ready to do so. And so you're better with Swayman, but those guys, they could surprise some people, and I wouldn't be one of them. I wouldn't be surprised if they came out and sort of made people not worry as much as they are right now.
Last one for you, Kevin, and you suggested this topic, and my eyes instantly lit up because the guy across from me is a giant goalie gear nerd.
It's true.
So I was like, well, let's close out with this. You wanted, and even in Flames camp, they've had at least one guy change his pads coming into the season, I believe. We see that every once in a while.
Well, I need that news first. You got to update me. Who's wearing different stuff?
I don't know what they were wearing before, but I know Vladar was wearing Bauer before. Cooley's coming into camp with Bauer, and Dustin Wolf's coming in with his regular CCM.
Okay, so Vladar was Bauer, was definitely Bauer before. Cooley's been Bauer for a little while, including Cooley will tell you that one of the things I really hope Thatcher Demko would have done was change his skates out of the one-piece true, which goalies love them because they connect their feet to the ice so well that they actually can change their sharpenings because they feel just so much more in control of their edges. But anytime your heels are locked in as much as those skates do, there's no give up through the ankles, knees, and hips. And a lot of guys talk about being sore. And so if you take a look at Cooley's skates, he will be in the Bauer Connect. They're all black this year, but it is essentially a ski boot style goalie skate. And he told me in the summer that his switch from a true one piece to that Bauer Connect ski boot style goalie skate with the buckles and everything, guys, significantly reduced the sort of wear and tear that he was feeling on a day-to-day basis. I think a lot of guys, it's in the knees and the hips. I think he was in particular in the hips and ankles. So there's one little tidbit for you. The other one, like, it's amazing. Like, goalies try all kinds of stuff in the offseason, and the companies want them all in their stuff. And so, you know, I've seen there was a year Corey Schneider used to be what we call a mutt, where he had different brands on different pieces of equipment.
I can't stand that.
Well, so you can imagine what the equipment companies think. So he's in these super like soft Vaughn pads and stiff, Reebok CCM blocker was always sort of the industry standard for many years, and a CCM Reebok glove. And of course, Vaughn wanted him in their gloves, but they couldn't quite make a glove he loved. And the other companies wanted him in the pads, but theirs were stiffer. I remember one rep actually breaking the bottom of his pad. Like there was on the bottom boot break, it had a solid connection and he literally like reefed on it until it actually physically broke to try and make the pad soft enough for Corey to switch. And of course, Corey's agent, Mike Liu, had always told him, You'll always make more money stopping pucks as a mutt than you will getting paid to wear the same brand of gear. And it sort of stuck with him, and he never became a head-to-toe, maybe final years he became a head-to-toe guy. So it's really different for guys to switch out only one piece. So they'll try all kinds of stuff in the summer. And in the off-season, once during the lockout, I remember Corey Schneider, because the Canucks don't have a practice facility. They share that with Calgary, the only two in the NHL. So they're out at UBC and they get kicked out. And he walked out with like 8 sets of pads. Because that's how many different companies were trying to get him to switch. Every company and multiple sets from each. It was crazy. So fast forward to my conversation with Joey Decord the other day, and he's wearing a Bauer blocker. Now, you've got Bauer guys in camp. Watch how actively the puck snaps off the face of the blocker or off the pads. Past that first wave of guys at the top of the crease looking for rebounds. Long rebounds are not necessarily bad rebounds anymore, and Bauer has sort of led the way in making sure that pucks really jump off the face of their blockers and their pads. They even used measurements that we would hear in golf, coefficient of restitution. If we had Wes on, he'd be loving that one, right? As the golf guy. And so this is a trend that Bauer has led. CCM has followed. And so Joey tried the Bauer blocker after watching Jake Oettinger head-to-head in a game make 3 or 4 blocker saves that ended up 20 rows deep in the stands. He led the way in making sure that pucks really jump off the face of their blockers and their pads. They even used measurements that we would hear in golf, coefficient of restitution. If we had Wes on, he'd be loving that one, right? As the golf guy. And so this is a trend that Bauer has led. CCM has followed. And so Joey tried the Bauer blocker after watching Jake Oettinger head-to-head in a game make 3 or 4 blocker saves that ended up 20 rows deep in the stands. It just makes it that much easier to kill play. And so now you've got Joey starting camp with Seattle and telling us that he is indeed, after all the gear nerds were all over him on social media, trying a Bauer blocker in the summer with the rest of his true equipment, he is going to be a mutt. And the reason is he just can't ignore the performance benefit of that coefficient of restitution and the material that Bauer uses to give him that active snap off the blocker. So there's a little goalie geek tidbit for you that kind of shows you what it's like behind the scenes of the summers as these guys try and find new ways to get an advantage. And in this case, I was going to say function over fashion, but because Bauer's also led the way with equipment that you can digitally print on, you will barely be able to tell that it's different because he's actually having the true graphic outside of the company name, but the actual graphic printed on his Bauer blocker to match his true pads and gloves.
Fascinating. See, and Kev, you can't see, but Vixie's eyes were like saucers. He was just like, take, and I like my goalie gear too, but not to the extent of Aaron over there. So that was great. That's a good way to wrap it up. A little goalie gear nerd stuff. That's some good stuff.
Well, Johan Hedberg once told me that I was the biggest goalie nerd. Maybe he used nerd he'd ever met. And before I could start crying, he told me it was a compliment.
That's good. Well, we like goalie guru, but you know what? We can bill you as goalie nerd too. Whatever you want. We'll do it again.
I'll take it next week. There's an official goalie nerd on social media that I can't pretend to be, but yes, I'll take it.
Okay. Well, you know what? Goalie guru, we can stick with that. Good stuff, Kev.
All right.
We'll chat with you next week. Guys, thanks for doing this as always.
Thanks, guys.
It's Kevin Woodley from NHL.com, In Goal Magazine, on the Atlas Pizza and Sports Bar guest hotline. The best pizza, pasta, steaks, and ribs since 1975. Dine in at 6060 Memorial Drive Northeast or call them at 403-248-3344 for pickup or delivery. As we start to wrap things up this hour, thanks to Cam, thanks to Shan, our producers this hour, and of course, Aaron Vickers on Twitter at AA Vickers. Vixie with us for the rest of this week. Training camp is officially underway across the league. That'll wrap us up this hour, and this hour's been the Sports Drive, brought to you by Calgary Lock and Safe. Treat yourself with up to $500 in savings of fire-resistant gun safes. Explore the full line of safes at calgarylockandsafe.com.